Well, we're so glad that you're here this morning. Want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I have been in the Christmas mood. If you've been around the last couple of months, you know I've been in the Christmas mood since about the middle of October. I don't know why that happened to me this week, but or this year. Sometimes I'm kind of Scroogey through Christmas season, but I've just kind of been in the mood, and it's been fun. And this is the big week. And so I hope you're getting ready if you're not completely ready, because it's coming, right? How many of you love presents? You're kind of a present-oriented. You should see Lynn's face when she threw her arm up. I love presents. This has been part of my life. I suppose if you've ever read that book, The Five Love Languages, my love language is gift-giving. And I love to give gifts. I love to get gifts. The getting is really good. And giving is a lot of fun. But one of the things that Chris and I have kind of struggled with a little bit in our marriage is I was raised in a family that gift giving was a really, really big deal. Birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries, any of that kind of stuff. We celebrated with gifts. And so that was a big deal. Chris was raised in a family that didn't have a lot of money, and so they found other ways of expressing love and affection for each other that didn't always involve gift giving. And so when we got married, there was a little bit of a disconnect because I feel loved when Chris gives me presents or writes me a card or puts a note on the mirror or any of that kind of stuff. It just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. And Chris has just had to learn how to speak my love language and do those kinds of things because that's just not her natural inclination. And a few Christmases ago, she hit the ball out of the ballpark with a gift. And I've said for all these years since she gave me this one particular gift, this was probably the best gift she had ever given to me. And I have to tell you the story that goes with this particular gift. We sat down around the Christmas tree like we do every year with my family, and Chris goes, and she's got a couple of packages under the tree. And of course, I'm the nosy one. I'm always digging under the tree looking to see what's under there with my name on it, of course. And I'd already spied these things, and they were just kind of small, unassuming little boxes. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there can't be anything very special in these little tiny boxes. But Chris comes in and sits next to me on the couch with these two little boxes, and her eyes are just dancing, and I can tell something is up. So she hands me the first present, and I open it up, and it's a double CD of all of the music from the Broadway show Les Miserables. And I opened that up, and I thought, well, that's a lovely gift. I had been singing in the symphonic choir in Great Falls, and we had sung some songs from Les Miserables, and the music is beautiful. Anybody know the music from Les Miserables? Okay, some of you are fans. But I had never seen the show. I wasn't necessarily a fan. And so I looked at these CDs, and Chris's eyes are just dancing, and I'm trying to be grateful, and at the same time in my mind, I'm thinking, this is a really strange, random gift, you know? But I'm trying to be grateful, because she's trying really hard, you know? So she gives me the next box, and I open it up, and it's the novel, Les Miserables. And obviously, there's a theme here, but I just still think it's very odd. Why would you give me a novel, you know? I don't read novels very often, but there's a theme here. And I look over at Chris, and she's got this big grin on her face, and I'm like, what's up? And she said, don't you want to thumb through the pages of the book? And so I started thumbing through the pages of the book, and when I got about to the end of the book, here tucked into the pages of the book were two tickets to the Broadway production of Les Miserables in Salt Lake City. And I think the dates were like March or April or something, you know, not long after Christmas. And I was just blown away that she would do this. But my first thought was, what if I can't get the time off? You know, I'm a pastor. It's not always easy to get away. And especially around that time, Easter season, you know, I didn't even know when Easter was that year. I said, Chris, what if I can't get the time off? She said, I already called your boss and I made arrangements for us to be gone that weekend. You have vacation time reserved for that weekend. It was an awesome gift. She made hotel reservations. She did all the planning, put the whole thing together. And that spring, we took a trip down to Salt Lake City, and we saw Les Miserables on this huge play. It was phenomenal. And one of the things I loved about this gift was the planning that went into this gift. Now, this is another thing that's different about me and Chris. I'm a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of guy. Everything's just kind of random and kind of, you know, do it as we go. Chris is a planner. She's methodical, plodding. She just figures everything out. And this gift was a marriage of gift-giving and finely tuned planning. And I loved that. And it was such a for me. But it highlighted that difference too, because, you know, if I see something that I think Chris likes, you know, I'll buy it on the spot. I don't spend a lot of time out. I'm always this last minute shopper. Anybody else last minute? How many of you would say you're a fly by the seat of your pants kind of person? All right? Planners. Let me see your hands, planners. Okay, we're about 50-50. Here's what I want you to know this morning. And here's the point that I'm trying to get at. God is more like Chris than he is like me. And I should never have admitted that. But this is going to be ammunition. I know that it is. But nonetheless, God is more like Chris than me in this respect. Okay? In this respect, God is a planner. God is a planner. God is not a fly-by-the-seat of his pants kind of guy. God has this amazing plan, and one of the reasons that we're all sitting in this room this morning celebrating the fact that Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago, and he died, and he rose, and he is coming again. One of the reasons that we're sitting here celebrating this today is because God planned it. God planned it. These last 4 weeks of Advent, I've been teaching through the four Gospels, the first chapter of each Gospel, and I've titled the message series Four Beginnings because we've been taking a look at the four first chapters of the Gospels. Matthew started with the genealogy of Jesus. He went clear back to the earliest moments of humankind to talk about the beginning of Jesus Christ from his genealogy. Mark started with the beginning of Jesus' ministry, baptism, And we celebrated repentance that particular Sunday. Last week we talked about Luke's story. He starts with the beginning of Jesus' birth and the whole story about the angels and all of that stuff that took place surrounding Jesus' birth. But today when we get to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, we find that John goes clear back to the beginning of everything. He goes way beyond the ministry and way beyond the birth, way beyond even the genealogy of Jesus that went clear back to Adam. John takes us clear back to the time before time even existed. And if you've got your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen. But I want us to see this amazing plan that God had that involved Jesus and has led us to celebrate Christmas today. John chapter 1. Actually, if you're taking notes this morning, you may want to jot this line down that's coming up on the screen. John starts the story of Jesus at the beginning, the very beginning. All right, John chapter 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, if you look at that sentence very carefully, you'll notice right away that we're talking about a person. We're not talking about a word like the or it or if. We're talking about the Word. It's capitalized. And so if you do a little simple deduction, you know that John is talking about who? Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and the Word Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3 tells us, all things were made through him. Through who? Through Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, if you understand Bible theology at all, you understand that when John says, in the beginning was the Word, he's talking about the beginning of eternity. And the Bible tells us that God, and Jesus is part of this Trinity that we call God, God has no beginning and no end. So when John is talking about the beginning, he's talking about this infinite backtracking of time that has no terminus, no beginning point. God has no beginning. God has no ending. But in all of that span of incredible eternity, Jesus always existed with God. There was always a Father. There was always a Son. There was always a Spirit. Jesus coexisted with God from the beginning. And from the very beginning, we see in the Scripture, God always had a plan. God always had a plan that involved Jesus. And in fact, this plan was incredible, and this is what I want you to know this morning, is this, that God was not at all surprised when this human thing all fell apart in the Garden of Eden. Now, you probably know the story of the Garden of Eden, that God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in this beautiful garden, and he told them they could eat of anything in that garden except from one tree. And what did they do? They went to the one tree and helped themselves, right? And this was the beginning of this problem that we all have called sin. And if you read Genesis without the rest of the Bible, you might think, wow, God must have been really disappointed and really surprised that these human beings were in this garden. They could eat of anything. They only had one restriction, but they did it anyway. I want you to know this morning, God was not surprised. There was no surprise. And in fact, God already had a plan before that ever even happened. How do I know it? Well, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this. Paul writes, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. God had this plan. God knew that if he created human beings, they would fall, that they would sin, that they would rebel. God already knew it, and before he ever created you, before he ever created me, he made a plan for Jesus to come and offer himself as a sacrifice. Paul goes on to say, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him what? Great pleasure. Do you know that sending Jesus to die for your sins, for my sins, gave God pleasure? Why? Because he loves people so much. Goes on to say this, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us. God had a plan. When Chris and I were first married, there was a little bit of an adjustment period like most people have to all the aspects of marriage, but one of the things that we had to kind of figure out is how to sleep with another person in the same bed. Chris and I, we didn't live together before we were married, so when we got married, that first night was the first night I'd ever spent any time in bed, especially with a girl. You know, I've been on campouts and sleepovers with junior high buddies and whatever, but here I am in bed with this woman, you know, and I snore and she kicks, and, you know, it just, we had to figure this stuff out. And I remember, I think it was in the first week of our marriage, we were falling asleep, and just on that place where you're starting to have those beginning dreams of sleepfulness, and I could tell that Chris was beginning to breathe hard and she was going to sleep, and all of a sudden, most of us do this, all of a sudden she had one of those involuntary kicks, you know, you do that, and as soon as she did that, I knew what's going on in her brain. You know, if you kick and you wake yourself up, you lay there and you pretend like nothing happened because you want to go right back to sleep, right? And if you acknowledge it, you'll wake up and then it's going to be harder to go back to sleep. So she kicks real hard in the bed, and I could tell that she was just going to ignore it. And so I laid there for just about 5 seconds, and then I did this. I just went. That was gross. I'm so sorry. Oh. Oh, somebody get me a napkin. Not a used napkin. There we go. Thank you. Oh, mercy. That wasn't part of the plan. Oh. Okay, so back to the story. You'll never sit in the front row again, will you? Oh, I don't know how you recover from that. So, I'll just describe what happened from now on. So Chris had this involuntary kick, and I waited just until she might be, you know, 5-6 seconds, and then I jerked as hard as I could. And so then we both just woke up, and we laid in bed just giggling, you know, and we laughed and laughed. And I tell you that story because I love a good surprise. And I've always... And so do you, evidently. So anyway, my point is, I love a good surprise. But God always has this amazing plan. He always has this amazing plan. And God is not surprised. God is not surprised when we fail him. God is not surprised when we let him down. He's just not surprised. He's got this all figured out from the beginning to the end. 1 Peter 1 verse 20 says this, God chose him, God chose Jesus as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. And I want you to know this morning, friends, wherever you are in your life, whatever mistakes you've made, whatever ways that you've blown it, as disappointed as you may be with yourself, God is not surprised, and God has a plan for you. And the plan begins with Jesus. It begins with Jesus. And to me, it's incredible that he thought this up long before anything ever happened, that this was the way he planned it. It's incredible to me. There's a song that I love. It's on an older Christmas CD by a group called Selah. Some of you have probably heard Selah's music. And I would have loved to sing this for you this morning, but obviously I don't have a voice. So I want you to hear this song this morning. It expresses this truth of the plan of God so beautifully. And I want you to hear this. The words are up on the screen. Go ahead and play this.
A child was born on Christmas Day, born to save the world. But long before the world began, he knew his death was sure. The pain and strife presence all around. a tree of life with blood that sacrificed. The greatest gift in life, mystery, how we came.
Let me take you back to John chapter 1. This is how the story continues. Verse 14 says this, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of only the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 10 says, "He was in the world." Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. Can you imagine being the creator of something this magnificent and coming to visit everything that you've created and that nobody would recognize you? Can you imagine if you're a parent giving birth to your children and raising them to the point of adulthood and then being separated from them for a time and coming to visit your kids and they don't know who you are? That's what Jesus experienced. Verse 11, "He came to his own and his own people did not receive him." And then the next verse says this, "But to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And this was the plan that God had. This thing that was no surprise to him, the plan was that he would send Jesus so that you and I could be adopted into his family. We could be adopted into his family. And no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how big a failure you may have been at some point in your life, God made a preparation for you to be adopted into his family. I'm really excited about our gathering tonight in Bozeman. I forgot to mention it earlier, but it is in the link. Tonight, we're meeting down at the Wingate instead of at the Baxter like we normally do. And the reason is because the Wingate has a pool, and we're baptizing five people tonight from Connect Church. In fact, I think there may be more than that. Family that has some out-of-town relatives coming in, and these relatives are believers. They've never been baptized, and they asked if they could be baptized as well. So I think we're going to have seven or eight somewhere around there if everybody shows. It's going to be a great night tonight. And when we baptize people, it's not just a ritual dunking. It's a declaration that we have participated in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and we are now adopted into God's family. And you know, tonight when we gather around that pool and we baptize each one of these people, there's going to be a lot of clapping, there's going to be a lot of cheering, there's going to be all kinds of excitement. Why? Because being adopted into God's family brings us joy, yes? Being adopted into God's family brings us joy. And this is what I want you to write down in your notes, is that God's plan, this amazing, mysterious plan that came from before the creation of the world, gives us joy. And the reason we sing joy to the world at Christmas time is because it's all been fulfilled in Jesus, that we can be adopted into the family of God. It's incredibly joyful. I want to wrap up this morning by just asking this question and trying my best to answer it. If you're here today and you could say this, I'm suffering and it's hard for me to find joy. Even at Christmas time, it's hard for me to find joy. I'm suffering. Maybe you have suffered some kind of loss in your life. I got a Christmas letter this week from one of my cousins, and somebody that I'm very close to, and her Christmas letter was a very sad letter because in the last couple of years, she has experienced a great deal of loss. Her dad passed away, I think it was the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas, 2 years ago. And now every Christmas is a reminder that dad isn't there and that it happened at Christmas time. It's difficult. And maybe you've experienced loss in your life. Maybe you've had a marriage relationship that has not gone well, or maybe relationships are broken with your children, or maybe you've been devastated financially for some reason or another, or maybe you're suffering in your body. I know we have people in our church that are suffering tremendously with physical afflictions. If you're suffering and joy is hard to find, let me just give you a couple of things that should help you find joy. And here's the first thing that you could jot down if you want to. I'd encourage you this morning to focus on what God has given you instead of focusing on what you lack. Focus on what God has given you instead of focusing on what you lack. For some reason, as human beings, it's easy for us to get preoccupied with whatever it is that's been taken away from us. And like my cousin missing her dad, my uncle, I get that, and I don't mean to sound at all critical of her. But instead of focusing on the loss that dad isn't here, we can focus on the fact that he gave us 78, 79 wonderful years that we can celebrate. That's a gift to have a dad that lives that long, isn't it? Focus on what you have instead of what you've lost, or on what you lack. I know that for me and Chris, whenever we take a trip down to Mexico and we visit the little villages and the areas of great, great poverty, it helps us come home and realize how amazingly blessed we are. Not just us personally, but as Americans, we live in a country that is amazingly prosperous. And sometimes when we remember what we have instead of what we lack, it helps us to find the joy. Secondly, I want to encourage you to find ways to bless others instead of waiting for someone to bless you. Sometimes we feel like nobody loves us, nobody thinks of us, nobody reaches out to us. But so often you find that there's a larger blessing when you begin reaching out to other people and blessing others instead of waiting for somebody to come to you. And then lastly this morning, and I could talk about this all morning, but But one more thing that I think is so important to preserve your joy at Christmas is to stay connected to Jesus. In the busyness of the season, it's so easy for us to get focused on decorations and gifts and lights and what am I going to cook and where are we going to put all these people that are visiting or how are the travel plans going to go and I don't have enough money to give my kids what they want. And we can get so preoccupied with all this stuff that we forget that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Stay connected to him and you'll find this season that you can celebrate with great joy instead of feeling sorry for yourself. I think it's amazing that God made this plan long before he ever created any one of us or any human being that's ever walked this earth. God has had this plan. It's a mystery, but it's joyful because the plan always was to create human beings who would be adopted into his family. And on this last Sunday of Advent, when we celebrate one last time, the expectation that Jesus is coming again soon, that's going to be the consummation of our adoption because we will live in those mansions that Jesus is preparing for us. We will live as a family for all eternity in the presence of God. And that's what you were for, that's what I was created for, and it's something worth celebrating. It's something worth being joyful for, isn't it? Amen. We're lighting the pink Advent candle this morning, and as I've explained to you before, the pink candle, pink traditionally in the Christian church, represents joy. Perfect Sunday to celebrate, isn't it? And as I light this pink candle, would you bow and pray with me this morning. Jesus, it is amazing to me that you knew ahead of time that we would fail. You knew ahead of time that we would betray you. You knew ahead of time that we would rebel. And yet, Jesus, you planned to come. You planned to walk among human beings and rub shoulders with us. You planned to love us. You planned to teach us. You planned to leave a legacy in the disciples that then handed it down generation to generation. And we sit here in this room today knowing, Jesus, that your plan has resulted in us coming to a place of knowing God. And Lord, it stirs within us.